Today is the 12th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Fantastic to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today. Greetings from the shores of the Red Sea. We are at the bottom, as far down south as you can get in the land of Israel, having moved through the wilderness as far as you can go, all the way to the Red Sea. And we will begin moving northerly today. That's the only way to go. And so we'll be heading north and ending up this evening at the Dead Sea. And we will talk, Jill and I actually, we will talk and share all about the goings-on when we get to the end today. But we're here for a purpose, and that purpose is vital and very important. It's why we have a global campfire. It's why there is a safe place for us to gather, and that is to take the next step forward on our journey through the scriptures. And so back into the wilderness we will go, into the book of Exodus. Crazy things have happened. God has been giving the law to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. The people below have decided that Moses is gone and they need to worship another god. And they have betrayed their covenant. And that has not gone well. We kind of applied that to our own lives, because that has not gone well for us either. Let's move forward. See what happens. Exodus chapter 34, verse 1 through 35, verse 9 today. One day the Lord said to Moses, "Cut two flat stones like the first ones I made, and I will write on them the same commandments that were on the two you broke. Be ready tomorrow morning to come up Mount Sinai and meet me at the top. No one is to come with you or to be on the mountain at all. Don't even let the sheep and cattle graze at the foot of the mountain." So Moses cut two flat stones like the first ones, and early the next morning he carried them to the top of Mount Sinai, just as the Lord had commanded. The Lord God came down in a cloud and stood beside Moses there on the mountain. God spoke his holy name, the Lord. Then he passed in front of Moses and called out, "I am the Lord God. I am merciful and very patient with my people. I show great love, and I can be trusted. I keep my promises to my people forever, but I also punish anyone who sins. When people sin, I punish them and their children, and also their grandchildren and great-grandchildren." Moses quickly bowed down to the ground and worshiped the Lord. He prayed, "Lord, if you really are pleased with me, I pray that you will go with us. It is true that these people are sinful and rebellious, but forgive our sin and let us be your people." The Lord said, "I promise to perform miracles for you that have never been seen anywhere on earth. Neighboring nations will stand in fear and know that I was the one who did these marvelous things. I will force out the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But you must do what I command you today. Don't make treaties with any of those people. If you do, it will be like falling into a trap. Instead, you must destroy their altars and tear down the sacred poles they use in the worship of the goddess Asherah. I demand your complete loyalty. You must not worship any other god. Don't make treaties with the people there, or you will soon find yourselves worshiping their gods and taking part in their sacrificial meals. Your men will even marry their women and be influenced to worship their gods. Don't make metal images of gods. Don't fail to observe the festival of thin bread in the month of Abib. Obey me and eat bread without yeast for 7 days during Abib, because that is the month you left Egypt. The firstborn males of your families and of your flocks and herds belong to me. You can save the life of a firstborn donkey by sacrificing a lamb. If you don't, you must break the donkey's neck. You must save every firstborn son. Bring an offering every time you come to worship. Work for 6 days and rest on the seventh day, even during the seasons for plowing and harvesting. Celebrate the harvest festival each spring when you start harvesting your wheat, and celebrate the festival of shelters each autumn when you pick your fruit. Your men must come to worship me 3 times a year, because I am the Lord God of Israel. As you advance, I will force the nations out of your land and enlarge your borders. Then no one will try to take your property when you come to worship me these 3 times each year. When you sacrifice an animal on the altar, don't offer bread made with yeast, and don't save any part of the Passover meal for the next day. I am the Lord your God, and you must bring the first part of your harvest to the place of worship. Don't boil a young goat in its mother's milk. The Lord told Moses to put these laws in writing as part of his agreement with Israel. Moses stayed on the mountain with the Lord for 40 days and nights without eating or drinking. And he wrote down the Ten Commandments, the most important part of God's agreement with his people. Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the Ten Commandments. His face was shining brightly because the Lord had been speaking to him. But Moses did not know at first that his face was shining. When Aaron and the others looked at Moses, they saw this and they were afraid to go near him. Moses called out for Aaron and the leaders to come to him, and he spoke with them. Then the rest of the people of Israel gathered around Moses, and he gave them the laws that the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. The face of Moses kept shining, and after he had spoken with the people, he covered his face with a veil. Moses would always remove the veil when he went into the sacred tent to speak with the Lord. And when he came out, he would tell the people everything the Lord had told him to say. They could see that his face was still shining, so after he had spoken with them, he would put the veil back on and leave it on until the next time he went to speak with the Lord. Moses called together the people of Israel and told them that the Lord had said, "You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day must be dedicated to me, your Lord, as a day of rest. Whoever works on the Sabbath will be put to death. Don't even build a cooking fire at home on the Sabbath." Moses told the people of Israel that the Lord had said, "I will welcome an offering from anyone who wants to give something. You may bring gold, silver or bronze, blue, purple or red wool, fine linen, goat hair, tanned ram skin or fine leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamp, sweet-smelling spices for the oil of dedication and for the incense, or onyx stones or other gems for the sacred vest and breastpiece." Matthew 27 15-31. During Passover, the governor always freed a prisoner chosen by the people. At that time, a well-known terrorist named Jesus Barabbas was in jail. So when the crowd came together, Pilate asked them, "Which prisoner do you want me to set free? Do you want Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate knew the leaders had brought Jesus to him because they were jealous. While Pilate was judging the case, his wife sent him a message. It said, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man. I have had nightmares because of him." But the chief priests and the leaders convinced the crowds to ask for Barabbas to be set free and for Jesus to be killed. Pilate asked the crowd again, "Which of these two men do you want me to set free?" "Barabbas!" they shouted. Pilate asked them, "What am I to do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" They all yelled, "Nail him to a cross." Pilate answered, "But what crime has he done?" "Nail him to a cross," they yelled even louder. Pilate saw that there was nothing he could do and that the people were starting to riot. So he took some water and washed his hands in front of them and said, "I won't have anything to do with killing this man. You are the ones doing it." Everyone answered, "We and our own families will take the blame for his death." Pilate set Barabbas free. Then he ordered his soldiers to beat Jesus with a whip and nail him to a cross. The governor's soldiers led Jesus into the fortress and brought together the rest of the troops. They stripped off Jesus' clothes and put a scarlet robe on him. They made a crown out of thorn branches and placed it on his head, and they put a stick in his right hand. The soldiers knelt down and pretended to worship him. They made fun of him and shouted, "Hey, you king of the Jews!" Then they spit on him. They took the stick from him and beat him on the head with it. When the soldiers had finished making fun of Jesus, they took off the robe. They put his own clothes back on him and led him off to be nailed to a cross. Psalm 33, 12 through 22. The Lord blesses each nation that worships only him. He blesses his chosen ones. The Lord looks at the world from his throne in heaven, and he watches us all. The Lord gave us each a mind, and nothing we do can be hidden from him. Mighty armies alone cannot win wars for a king. Great strength by itself cannot keep a soldier safe. In war, the strength of a horse cannot be trusted to take you to safety. But the Lord watches over all who honor him and trust his kindness. He protects them from death and starvation. We depend on you, Lord, to help and protect us. You make our hearts glad because we trust you, the only God. Be kind and bless us. We depend on you. Proverbs 9, 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house with its seven columns. She has prepared the meat and set out the wine. Her feast is ready. She has sent her servant women to announce her invitation from the highest hills. Everyone who is ignorant or foolish is invited. All of you are welcome to my meat and wine. If you want to live, give up your foolishness and let understanding guide your steps. So as we begin to observe, and it's not as if we haven't seen the pattern already, But as we continue to observe this kind of erratic back and forth of the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, and in the Gospel of Matthew, this conspiracy to put Jesus to death, well, as we do often, we try to place ourselves in these stories so that we can consider our own ways. Where do we find our own hearts in these stories? Who would we be if we were living in this story? And at times, that is one of the most helpful things we can gain from immersing ourselves in a relationship with the Bible. That can be very disruptive. Because if we're honest, it will sober us. It is also an invitation forward into a step further into the truth of who we are and the work that we have to do. Because at some point, we have to, as the ancients did, consider that God has done amazing things and put up with an awful lot with humanity and with us, intentionally, with such mercy and grace and long-suffering. We do not deserve compassion and grace. It is not something that we can earn. It's something given out of love. Why, though? Why does he love us? Psalms today offer some clues that are so hopeful. We're told the Lord looks down from heaven. The Lord looks down on the entire human race. From his throne, he can see all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. And that is a radical thought, to know and believe that God understands us. Because so often we find ourselves with fists raised, screaming at the sky that he doesn't understand. But God does understand. Everything about us, every atom, every molecule that makes up our body, every good conviction, every posture of heart that is right and true, every emotion that is a good or a challenging emotion that fills our hearts, everything that we feel, everything that we are, finds its essence in God. We were told this. We were told that we are created in his image. So of course, as our Father, he has understanding. And as we observe God giving the law, we must understand that he is not vengefully laying down the law as a prison. He is weaving into the fabric of a new culture a story that must not be forgotten, the story of who he is and what it means to be holy, what it means to be set apart by him for relationship and intimacy with him. And as we watch Jesus now going to the cross in the Gospel of Matthew, and we have to humbly acknowledge just how committed God is to rescue, to redemption, to wholeness, and to setting us apart as holy. Psalm says the Lord watches over those who fear him. The Lord watches over those who rely on his unfailing love. May we find some comfort in that. May we even find a bit of confidence in that. God is our origin, our Father, and he is fathering us. He understands. He was willing to give his life that we might know each other. Wisdom says in the book of Proverbs today, leave your simple ways behind you so that you can begin to live. That begins from a spiritual perspective when we own our own part of our relationship with God. And that begins in our relationships when we do the same thing. Spiritually, what more does God have to do his part? God has done his part. Maybe it's time for us to grow up and do ours and be faithful and loyal and true in our dealings with each other and with God. God understands us. We are loved more than we can comprehend. We have what we need. We are being sold lies and deception that gives us this sense of lack, this sense of envy, this sense of comparison, this sense of jealousy that has us reaching for what is not ours to take when we have all that we need in safety and in wholeness and repair with God. May we do what Jesus says, open our eyes and see. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you, come into that. Come into these places where we're reaching. Come into this sense of lack. Come into the brokenness. Come into the coping. Come into the pain. Come into the soothing. Come into all of the things that we just simply can't sit in the tension of and allow you to comfort us. Come into the places where we are walking away instead of toward, turning away instead of turning toward. Illuminate us to ourselves. It's so easy for us to get this and understand this for everybody else. Shine the light of truth on us that we might be aware of our own stuff and our own work. We ask in your name. Amen.
Welcome to another... We're not going.
No, we are.
Oh.
We are.
Whoa. I believe I'm delirious.
I believe we're near it. Yes.
Welcome to another edition, installment episode of whatever this is. I'm Jill.
I'm Brian.
Day two.
Yes.
But the official day uno.
Yeah, our first day of the tour is almost behind us. This is the last thing we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, hi everybody everywhere. How are you? It is wonderful to be here. We're running on like 2 hours, maybe of sleep.
Yeah.
And a hard charging day. And so, we're either going to be silly or, you know, if we disappear for like a few minutes, we needed a nap.
Yeah.
Just bear with us. It's great to be here with you today. We are coming to you from Eilat, Israel. And Eilat is the southernmost city. As far as you can go, it is like we're looking out the window and we're looking at the Red Sea. And so there's nowhere else to go but in the water. And so this is as far south as we can go. Two oceans today. We started on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea.
That might actually be an interesting jolt of a second wind if we just went and jumped in the water.
Yeah, I think that would be quite a jolt. You're right. I don't know if I'm up for that, but...
Yeah.
two oceans today. The Mediterranean Sea was where we left this morning and ended up at the Red Sea this evening, and a lot of wilderness between there and here.
Yep. We did the Med and the Red, and we have the Dead to go.
And that's tomorrow. And then we have other, like the Jordan and the Sea of Galilee. But let's stay where we are at this point. Today was our first day.
Yeah.
And it was a day in the wilderness, very biblical, but also a day exploring our own wilderness. So it was a wilderness day.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. There's a lot of times, a lot of tourists that come to Israel and don't really go into the wilderness at all, which is fine. But since we read the Bible every year, it's like the wilderness, the desert, is a backdrop for so much of the Bible that not experiencing it at all, especially on a tour that's like to make the Bible come alive, is impossible. So we...
Well, and I don't know why we do that, to be honest with you. You know, it's like sacronizing the Bible.
Well, I think it's easier.
Nobody can avoid the wilderness.
I mean, it's easier, but we can't avoid the wilderness in the Bible, and we can't avoid the wilderness in our lives. And so we just kind of acknowledged that at the beginning of the day. And off we went. It was like an interesting beginning of the day because Tyler was sick and
he had
gotten exhausted because he hadn't slept for like 48 hours with the jet lag, and then got dehydrated and his blood sugar dropped a bit. And so we had to kind of pivot and navigate, but everything worked really, really well.
Man, was I proud of our team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone just did what they needed to do.
Very, very, like all of the little safeguards and all the preparation and everything just worked. And so off we went this morning, you know, off we went to the first stop, which, you know, is about an hour and a half away from where we started. And that is the city, or the ruins of Beersheba, Del Beersheba. And a very, very ancient city, very, very biblical city, the southernmost point, southern border of ancient Israel, from Dan to Beersheba. And so we have experienced the southern border, but so much happens in the Bible in Beersheba, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were there. So when we get there and we see those ruins and we step in, it's like we are literally stepping into the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things. God appears to Isaac there. So we're standing in a place that the Bible tells us God appeared. And, well, that's something.
You know? That's a PBD.
that's something. And Jacob steals Esau's birthright there.
Another PBD.
PBD in the Bible. For those of you who don't know, we established that last trip. Pretty big deal.
Pretty big deal.
And so that happens. oh my gosh. That happens in Beersheba. And other things like Hagar, which is Abraham's concubine, the mother of Ishmael.
Yeah, and we could get into that whole thing, but that really is such a fascinating story.
Yeah. And as it relates to Beersheba, though, she is sent away into the wilderness of Beersheba and kind of into her own personal exile. And so that's a hard story, but that happens, you know, centered around Beersheba. And so a lot. And it's quite, I mean, it's very, very ancient.
Sorry, but just to back up a little bit, the beautiful part of that story, I think, with Hagar being sent away is that she names God El-Roi.
Yeah.
The God who sees.
Yeah.
And don't we all want to be seen by God?
There, I mean, there's beautiful things about it. mm-hmm. and tragic, you know, sad, difficult things yeah. about it.
You got to hold them both at the same time.
Yeah, and that both and is a difficult thing to do in the Bible, difficult thing to do in life. But sometimes we have to do it. And so, yeah, Beersheba. And that's where we began. And the ruins are they're very old and pretty spectacular, especially the water system and cistern.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, everybody got through that and we all kind of gathered together and just oriented ourselves for what was about to happen. Because once you head south of Beersheba, the terrain, which has already been shifting, the terrain dramatically mm-hmm. shifts into stark, raw, barren wilderness.
Yeah.
And so we just all gathered together and oriented ourselves to the fact that that shift in terrain was about to happen, mm-hmm. but also to open our hearts to the fact that the wilderness in the Bible shapes
yeah.
the people,
yeah,
challenges everything about the people, brings to the surface everything
yep.
that's, you know, about the people. And so that is also true for every one of us that's here right now listening or speaking. Like, the wilderness is unavoidable and it mm-hmm. shapes so much how we handle it, how we navigate, shapes life in so many ways.
It really is very telling about our true character, I think, because sometimes it's not our true character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're just like, we gotta have someone else to blame.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be somebody else's fault.
Yeah, but navigating.
And sometimes it is.
I mean, yeah.
But it's like, ultimately, what are we gonna do with it?
Yeah, and that was sort of the challenge. Like, what have we done with our wilderness story? And, you know, how have we done what we've done to navigate it? And so that was just a personal challenge of reflection as we got into it. And so mm-hmm. we left Beersheba and headed into the wilderness, and very, very quickly, that's where we were.
Yeah.
And it is a stark, barren place.
And also, kind of along the journey today, we heard some of those wilderness stories,
yeah.
and they were stark, some of them.
Stark, barren, and difficult.
Mm-hmm.
What an honor. I mean, mm-hmm. we just need to kind of say that, as brief
Absolutely.
As some of these moments are, they are so meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the honor of kind of being a witness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and having been able to travel through so many wilderness journeys by just doing what we do, bringing the Bible every day, staying in that rhythm, and how that has accompanied people through so many things.
Yeah.
And so for us to be able to hear that is humbling. And
it is.
And I think we just acknowledge that, yeah, we've been in this together, because none of us escape it, and we've been through our own stuff, and the Bible has carried us through, and it's so remarkable.
And it's so beautiful and so interesting at the same time. Like, I'm standing there looking out my complete peripheral everywhere I turn.
Mm-hmm.
Vast sand.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was, where's the water?
Uh-huh.
Where's the water? Like, I'm feeling parched. I'm feeling like there's got to be some water. There's got to be some water. It's like, that is sort of this metaphor for life of, you know, the water represents life, and got to get to the water.
Yeah.
Jesus, the living water. He calls yeah. himself the living water.
Mm-hmm.
But just after a while, the view is so like, whoa. Water came from a rock
yeah.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
like God provided.
Yeah.
God provided.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to trust.
Yeah.
And man makes it sound so simple.
But it isn't.
No.
And so we can blame the children of Israel for their reactions, and at some point they keep repeating these patterns when they have every reason to have learned trust. But, you know, then it becomes a mirror and we have to look at ourselves and go, wow, I'm walking the same path so often in my life.
Yeah. Ta-da, look at the magic in the view.
Yeah.
It's the same.
So the wilderness is stark and barren, but also strikingly beautiful.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And dry.
And so the next stop that we had is this really, really dramatic overlook down upon the wilderness of Zin. Mm-hmm. And it really is a very, very dramatic view. And it really is genuinely a place named in the Bible as a place where the children of Israel were wandering. Mm-hmm. And so to look down across all of that.
Yeah.
And imagine a million people out there. It's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
But you quickly realize, yeah, there's no way to survive.
Yeah.
You know, and so you see kind of the faith and trust that they were up against. The wilderness of Zin is named in the book of Numbers as the place from which 12 spies
mm-hmm.
were sent into the land of milk and honey to spy it out.
Yeah.
See what was going on. What, you know, just
take a little peeky.
Take a little peek at what's up and bring back a report. Because the wilderness journey for the children of Israel had come to an end, and it was time to move in. And what a crazy story, because those 12 do spy out the land, go to the cave of Machpelah. Like, they go to Machpelah. That's where they get the grapes that they carry back.
The clusters of grapes that are so big they gotta carry them shoulder to shoulder.
This is exactly where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are buried.
Mm.
And they go there and they bring back the grapes. And they say it's awesome. It's a beautiful land, no doubt about it. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. And there's no way we can take it. There are giants there. We're grasshoppers to them. They have walled cities fortified. There's no way.
Mm-hmm. But the fascinating thing about that story is, you know, the two young guys, they're jazzed.
Yeah.
Like, they're amped. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go right now. We can go and we can take them.
Joshua.
Yeah.
Caleb. And.
Is that who I sent? Did I say?
You didn't say anybody.
Oh, I'm so tired. I thought I did.
I hope I got that right.
I thought I was nailing it.
I believe I did, but I'm absolutely delirious too.
In my mind, I said it, and then, okay, I didn't say it.
I think you said those two young guys were jazzed.
In my mind, I said Joshua and Caleb's, Joshua, son of Nun.
Caleb, son of Jephunneh.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they are ready to go. The other 10 have demoralized the entire people, who are now wanting to kill Moses, and they are grumbling and complaining, and God is fed up. He had brought them to this point. It had taken centuries mm-hmm. to get them to this point, and here they are at the threshold, failing.
Yeah.
And caving. And
And it's interesting because it's like, is it a matter of it's as simple as they simply forgot where God brought them from and how he did it and how they witnessed it, how they witnessed and saw the hand of God
mm-hmm.
that was miraculous.
Yeah.
To walk out of the Red Sea onto dry land as the seas were parted and held to be freed from an identity, mm-hmm. to be brought into a new identity, mm-hmm. and then to go,
we can't do it.
He's gonna smoke us. They're gonna smoke us.
Did you bring us out here to die?
Yeah.
Didn't we tell you we shouldn't be out here? And it's just.
And I want to be mad at him, but I'm also just like.
Yep, this is my story.
My story.
Yep. So we contemplated that fact. And, you know, what happens is a generation has to stay in the wilderness. So they ultimately have to stay in the wilderness 40 years longer than they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, the parallels are so striking because we stay in the wilderness, mm-hmm. so much longer than we need to. We have to, because of the familiar, like bondage and slavery are what they are, but we know them and we can control that, we feel like, and you know, we can find a way to get what we need or what our needs, you know, whatever we think, to be self-sufficient. And so we end up staying, striking out into the unknown in faith and trust. And I mean, I'm guilty, so it hits me. I understand that story. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, everybody does. And so, and actually, even after we kind of contemplated that, so many of, like you said, so many brief encounters, brief moments, few minutes on this walk, on this path with people and hearing like, yeah, this is how that story looks in my life. And what a beautiful honor. To just walk through those things. And so that was our next thing. And then lunch.
Yeah.
Spectacularly unusual kind of lunch. We like go among the Bedouin people and eat as the Bedouin people do, the desert dwellers who are nomadic.
Mm-hmm.
And have kind of that experience, which is truly unique.
It's like such a sweet place. Even the camels are happy.
Yeah.
the camels, well, maybe it's all camels. I don't spend a lot of time with the camels, but the camels always look like they're smiling.
Yeah. I think Max said it really well today. Camels look like they have a really funny punchline they're about to tell you all the time.
I didn't hear that.
Like they're holding on to this little secret punchline. They're about to lay it out for you. And they already know.
That's so great. Leave it to Max.
And that's true.
My take was that they were just walking around like, I'm hydrated. I've got water in my hump.
Yep. So we had lunch. And that's always really, really, well, like I said, unique. Experience, yeah, really, truly unique, and
it really
experience.
Is. And I love it because, I mean, chicken and rice, yes, please,
yes. So,
real homemade dill pickles. I mean, come on, I don't even like pickles, but
yummy, it was good,
so good,
good today. So, after lunch, we headed deeper into the wilderness and. Man, into really, really some really beautifully stark, arid deserts, but also just really, really beautiful. Like this deep crater that is really unique.
And I was like, I can't remember. I don't even know what you're talking about. But
yeah, it's just really, really something special.
Yeah.
To feast your eyes on. And we, you know, we listened to Daily Eddie Bible and as a community and took the next step forward and continued on the path to our next stop, which is Yotvata, the kibbutz, the Yotvata dairy. And these are dairy farmers and good bathroom stop, but also like that's the ice cream and yum, yum, yum.
Man, I just forgot how good it is. It's so creamy. And I love these bars that start with an M. I don't know. They're just so good, and I feel like I can only get them here. So I opted for one of those, and then I had a little bite of yours, and I was like, highly regretting that choice.
Literally, I literally wait all year for that one little cup of ice cream. I just love it, and it's been like a 3-year wait.
Yeah.
So it did not disappoint, and that was great. And then, you know, we had to leave, and man, it was, the line for the ice cream was crazy.
Crazier than I've ever seen.
It did go fast, but I was like, wow, you know, we're definitely growing here.
Mm-hmm.
Then we needed to leave because our last stop is right on the shores of the Red Sea, and we're literally looking at the border to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking across the Red Sea into the country of Jordan,
yeah,
which is biblical Moab, where like stories like the Book of Ruth,
the Moabites,
yeah, the Moabites. And then further south of there would be, you know, Saudi Arabia. And so it's quite an interesting thing to realize where you're standing,
mm-hmm,
where you are, the stories that have taken place, how biblical of a place you are standing. And we ended our day just opening up the Bible and talking about the children of Israel in their own wilderness journey. Just before the Red Sea, you know, is divided and they walk through, they are freaking out because their back is to the ocean, and facing them are the mountains and the Egyptian army that is bearing down upon them. And so they are trapped and freaking out. And we just kind of read that story because, man, that when we feel trapped in our own wilderness, we thrash about and do everything to get control.
Mm-hmm.
And in any way, freak out and do all kinds of destructive things, reach for all kinds of destructive things.
Yep.
And ultimately, you know, the challenge for them was to be silent and watch. And so we just ended our wilderness day with that kind of challenge for our own lives. And then we got some pictures and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
When you look so pretty walking, you know, stepping into the Red Sea, I loved looking at you with your toes in the water.
I love having my toesies in the water.
Yeah.
And the water's my love language.
Yeah.
Mountains are yours, but yeah, it's just, I get to this place on the first day and it's just like, wow, what a treacherous journey today, mm-hmm, to get here. But there is just this this big exhale of like, wow, we made it. I got to put my feet in the water. People are standing on the edge, mm-hmm, collecting their rocks and seashells, mm-hmm, and coral, and it's just a sweet exhale.
Yeah. And it really is, because that's the end of the day and it's been a long day, and we get from there, you know, come check into the hotel and beautiful dinner,
mm-hmm,
beautiful, you know, accommodations. And well, and then we land ourselves here doing whatever this is.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible. This is Elizabeth calling from Lexington, Kentucky, and my handle is Angel in Training. Oh Lord, oh Lord. We turn to you. Who else could we turn to? We love you, we worship you, and we trust you. I ask that you touch and heal Tori Bright, and that you shelter and protect this precious man and his family. Lord, his prayer request asks for his wife, Teresa, his sons, Justice, JC, and Jacoli, even before his own need for healing of colon cancer. He truly has his family's well-being foremost in his heart. Please, Lord, help he and his family as they navigate these stormy waters. I ask for complete healing for my brother, as I know many other dabbers are also doing. Please, in the name of your holy son, Jesus, heal Tori. Amen.
Good morning, DAB. This is the one at the well from Northwest Arkansas. And it's my time to call to encourage all of you who struggle with addictions and compulsive disorders. And today I just wanted to talk about grace, because I did not understand grace. I had been in church all of my life. I was pretty much a perfect little 15-year-old Christian girl when everything went kind of backwards. And I did not ever really, I don't remember even hearing about grace aside from singing songs and, you know, talking about it, but I did not understand it. So self-condemnation was my best friend. And that is a strategy straight from Satan. And so I'm just encouraging you to receive grace and just know you may not feel any different, but when you have been forgiven for your past sins, you have to have faith to know that you are forgiven, because you are. You don't feel it because you hate yourself, right? But you have to believe that the one who created us does not hate us. He loves us so much, and he gives us grace. We make mistakes, there's grace. We don't feel like we're walking into victory, there's still grace. Grace, grace, grace. So I'm just encouraging you today to make a choice to believe the truth instead of what you hear in your own head, because you are worthy.
Today, I want to encourage and uplift Sparky. Today's the 7th. I heard your prayer request and I heard your voice. Some of the saddest words that we can say to ourselves or to God is, I was doing so good. What happened? What happened? And I've done that myself. And it's painful and it hurts. And I've come to try to accept that as a sign that I am definitely doing better, doing more, doing what God wants me to do, because our enemy is always out there looking for ways to get at us. He knows our weaknesses, where we can feel like we've fallen down and failed, and wants to keep our head down, keep us on our knees, keep us smashed against the ground. So like Brian said earlier this week in his commentary, with Moses, his arms had to be held up. He could not do it on his own. So, Sparky, I know there are thousands, tens of thousands that will be praying for you. I don't know specifically what to pray, but I'm going to be one of those people that is holding up your arms. And give yourself a break, take a breath, and know that we love you. And this is just a setback, a little setback. You recognized it and you can course correct here. So we love you, and just remember, we'll be holding you up, Sparky. So many of us that love you.
Hey, Sparky, this is Dean from the great Pacific Northwest, God's country. Sparky, thank you for your courage. Thank you for your transparency, and thank you for your humility to share with us your struggle, the pressure to provide for a family, to be a leader, to stretch yourself in your job, and then to try to cope with that as you come home, perhaps medicating or escaping to some degree. I don't think that's uncommon. I know for a fact that I have struggled with that. The pressures of life and business have compounded. And so thank you for your courage to acknowledge it and to bring it to your wife. And then, of course, to ask for prayer. May God's Holy Spirit help you. May He lead you to a place where everything pales except for the presence of God, that His Holy Word becomes ignited again once in your heart, and that would burn within you, and that you would continue to be the leader, the man of God, the model that you are meant to be, both for your sons, your kids, and your wife, and all your co-workers. May God's Holy Spirit empower you to walk with Him and to seek His face first. I think of Psalms 27. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. You know, Sparky, everything else will pale. Everything else will fade away when we get so taken away by the beauty of God and the goodness of God. Stand strong, brother. You got this. Go get it. Stand strong. God bless you, brother. Thanks for sharing.